Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chucky or la, get the Brits out loud. A one-way ticket, please, I've lost my bus pass. It's Jocks and Orpies, looking some pins, man. A Kailu fucking free Jinnish, man. Keep it at the fucker, fucking fuck off. Jesus said on the cross, two pins a boost, 20 fakes, and the fog is the lost. Who's next? Be missed, some would you like a bag? While you're shopping at your nose, I see your ankle tag. Fuck you, curfew, dislocated ice socket. Overnight cap shop with 2 grams in his pocket. Loves his reputation. For being a rocket in his dreams, name millimeter loaded.
I'm a hitch, double OD, lonely scum. That's what they say about me.
Those Palestinian flags, they stand by Palestine. I mean, when they were out in Sundance, they said "Free Palestine." They said that everywhere they went to.
Yeah,
you know, and it was widely reported. And you know, there's a ketamine sequence in it, where Jerry Adams' head appears on one of the boys' heads. And it's unbelievably realistic. You really would think that it's Jerry Adams on ketamine. But whenever you were mentioning the Mail,
yeah,
sort of the attack, but they really did, you know, as you know, an attack job. And then you had Villiers, that horror story, who was the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. She was outrageous, you know, that there's been lottery funding for this. And, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, like, the thing is, and I looked at kneecap, like you've laid out an awful lot about, and I don't think, again, it's a bit like the Wolf Tones, in that I don't think, you know, talking about the North and whatever, you know, the future is through how kneecap go about their music is necessarily the way of doing it in the round, because they are also like getting that Mail story, getting all this is the currency for any kind of act trying to get attention. You know, you always want to be, you want to be condemned by people like the Mail. And so the best way of them doing that, I don't, no doubt their convictions and all of this, but there's the best way for them doing that is to be as brash and upfront and as extravagant as they can be. Now, I don't think at the same time, I don't think celebrating, I think you can make a point that you believe about, you know, people who stood by you during the Troubles without saying we're going to celebrate everything. I think when you talk about, and when you, you know, and I do feel even when you talk about Hamas and you know, this, you know, if Gideon Levy says it was like a slave revolt, that's fine. That's his opinion. But at the same time,
but that's what it was.
But also there was barbaric and there was brutality in that. That was
brother. I've never seen barbarity on the scale of what Israel is doing.
I didn't say that.
36 hospitals all destroyed.
Yeah, Joe, I think you can understand.
All of their universities destroyed.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Setting explosives throughout the last remaining university, the Palestinian.
Joe, listen to me.
And raising it to the ground.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, as though
all
you were
that.
Raising a building in New York to build a new skyscraper.
I understand all that. Nobody's. Yeah,
I've never seen anything systematically starving a population of 2 million people. Yeah. All these trucks lined up at the gates, and the gates can't be opened.
But that's
and the most powerful nations in the world watching this happening.
It's horrendous.
And then joining the lies about it.
But that doesn't mean that, rape and sexual violence by Hamas in October 7th.
You know what?
If you think rape is...
None of that is proven, as you well know. None of that is proven. These people have and would say anything. You could give them the benefit of the doubt for a while, but this is sustained, systematic genocide of a population. And I cannot... I'm not going to engage in this in a logical way. It is demented. It is demonic. It is insane. My father used to say, when you were talking about sort of thinking about somebody who was radical, authoritarian, all those sorts of things, there's no point in having a logical argument. He would say, it's like evening your wit to Jack Russell. These people, as Gabor Maté said, not even the... They're such liars. He's a Holocaust survivor that not even the opposite of what they say is the truth. There is no discussion about this. There is no sort of back and forth. This is an annihilation of a defenseless population in front of our eyes.
That's
snipers killing kids when they're walking across the road holding white flags.
But
6,000 hostages being held by Israel that they've just taken.
The thing is,
history did not start on the 7th of October.
I didn't say anything. You're plucking things out of here that I haven't said.
But I'm making the point.
I know you're. Let me finish.
Not anymore listen to anybody saying "but Hamas." I'll not listen to it. It's fucking insane. I'll not listen to it. Because we're seeing one of the most powerful armies in the world systematically starving a population, destroying their hospitals, people having limbs amputated without any medication, without any anaesthetic.
But I think you make it easy for people to attack what you're saying.
I don't care they can make it as easy
because
as they want.
Hasn't been proven when there's a huge body of evidence.
You cannot believe a thing they've said. Joe Biden said that he saw the pictures of 40 beheaded babies that didn't exist. They are the most pathological liars I've ever seen. The Israelis. Everything they say is a lie.
But this is the New York Times.
They will say, the New York Times, who pays for the New York Times? You can't say a word. You can't say a word of sympathy about what's happening to the Palestinians in America, or you're gone. Yesterday when we were on the march, a girl from Palestine whose entire family, there are 183 people sheltering in her father's house, they kept saying to the press, do not take any photographs of her. Do not take any videos because she will be blacklisted. She'll never be able to travel again.
You see, it's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. I don't disagree with anything you say.
I'm not having any balance in this because there is no balance in this. Right. It's insane.
Okay. I don't do this anymore.
You're right?
Yeah. I just think that stuff is too much.
It is too much. It's too much for anybody.
Yeah, I know, but all that, you can't
see. That guy was weeping yesterday on stage.
No, I know that, but I just don't think it's good.
I don't know what to do or what to say or what anybody can do.
You're right about all that. I just think when you go...
Michael Martin says... Then Micheál Martin says, you're right? I know, what does anybody say? It drives you.
But it doesn't.
And then you know what?
You know what you want to do.
You want to say, I don't want to think about this anymore. Don't talk to me about it because it's driving me mental.
No, but it doesn't in any way undermine what you're saying about what's happening, what the Israelis are doing in Palestine. To say, actually, you can go too far. You can do things that are disproportionate, that are criminal, that are barbaric and brutal when you are responding to oppression.
Of course,
you can do things that are crimes.
Of course you can.
That's all I want you.
Stuff the provost.
Yeah, I know. That's all I want.
Nobody can stand over that.
Yeah. Okay. That's all. Okay. Finally.
But it was created by oppression.
I don't doubt that. The history of the world is full of stories of oppression, which were then responded to by acts of terrible, terrible violence. And that's all I'm saying about October the 7th. I'm never going to be able to be in a position where you say that actually is okay, right? That's what I'm saying, all right? And
mean, you look at just bringing it back now to you all right?
Yeah.
Just bringing it back to the Irish language thing, which is an important thing. It's a really important thing because, you know, they are provoking young people to say, you know, we need to get on this and we need to be serious about the Irish language because, you know, one of the things that's a sort of a recurring line in it was, you know, this is before the Good Friday Agreement. So, you know, it starts when they're young. Every word spoken in Irish is a bullet fired in the cause of Irish freedom. You see, this is what the Michael Fassbender character is telling these two small boys dressed in their cowboy outfits. And young people are reacting very strongly to that message because they know that the boys are taking the piss a lot as well about the Brits and the Queen and all that. And why shouldn't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, why shouldn't they? And, you know, the idea whenever Ian Paisley Jr., Ian Ogg, as they cast him, says, you know, oh, this is absolutely outrageous, you know, and they said, oh, you know, well, you know, I know that Ian Sr. would be turning in his grave if he could see us here. But Ian Jr. were surprised because we used to sell him cocaine. And you're like, what the fuck? And you're sort of left thinking, did they? I mean, I'm assuming that that's just, you know, made up. And then they say, look, you know, look, DUP guys, you're overreacting. Look, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a private screening for you. We'll do the popcorn. We'll do all that, the refreshments. Come and enjoy it, you know, and we'll all have some fun. And as you say, they're loving this.
Yeah.
And the Americans are loving it. I mean, when they were out there, every time, you know, some outrage was being reported, you know, by Edwin Putz or Ian Paisley or something like that, you know, they were absolutely delighted. Because one of the weapons that was used by the British, of course, here, you know, they used famine, they used mass murder, executions, all the things that we know about. But one of the most cruel and effective weapons was to attack Irishness, Irish culture, go right into it, your sense of identity, your language. You know, so before the famine, even though, I mean, so starting with the Statute of Kilkenny, fucking Kilkenny again, like cricket, bloody hell. My Aunt Maura had some laugh Hyde going to see the Kilkenny hurling match and half the team lying down for a rest in the middle of it when they got too tired. Anyway, the Statute of Kilkenny in 1367 made it illegal for English colonists in Ireland to speak Irish. Because what was happening was they were coming over, they were becoming immersed in Irish culture and they were learning to speak Irish. So that was banned, and it was also banned for the native Irish people to speak Irish when they were interacting with English colonists. Now, it was a very subtle start. Then in 1537, the Statute of Ireland, which was described, and she is here, the Statute of Ireland, an act for the English order, habit and language, prohibiting the use of the Irish language in the Irish Parliament. So you could no longer use it. The political representatives couldn't use it. So it was subtle. 1541, the use of Irish was banned in any area of Ireland under English rule, which were very substantial portions of Ireland in 1541. And then the Administration of Justice Language Act Ireland was passed in 1737. And that act remained on the statute books until 18 months ago. And that not only forbade the speaking of Irish within any courtroom, it prohibited the completion of legal documentation in Irish.
Until how long ago?
16, 18 months ago, when the UK finally, because Stormont wasn't sitting, and it was clear the DUP were never going to back an Irish language bill, because we'll come back to that about Edwin Putz and what happened to him. So this very effectively, by the time that the famine came around, you were down to about 40% of people speaking Irish. And of course, the famine then wiped out Irish virtually completely, you know, and the various other laws very, very effectively turned us into, as Douglas Hyde said, little Englanders, you know, and it was a very effective way. And you know, almost worked. You know, I think that the Irish sort of became powerful around the world in a way. The diaspora going to England, going to America, you know, start becoming very well educated, becoming active and militant, you know, and all of that. It was an illustration that you can't really destroy the indigenous people, you know. And then you move forward, 1998, and these kids would have been growing up in this regime, you know. Good Friday Agreement, the British government committed to recognise the importance of respect and tolerance in relation to linguistic diversity, including the Irish language, you know. And then you had the St Andrews Agreement. And after that, a Belfast Irish speaker, Kevin McGillicahan, made a legal application for his drinks licence in Irish, which was refused by the High Court in Belfast on the basis that it had not been made in English according to the 1737 Administration of Justice Act. And he appealed against the refusal. And Lord Justice Girvan acknowledged that whilst it was legal to use Welsh in Welsh courts and Scots Gaelic in the Scottish courts, and accepted that the British government made a commitment to promote the Irish language in the Good Friday Agreement, concluded that allowing the use of Irish in the courts of Northern Ireland will frustrate the interests of justice. Now, is it any wonder, you know, and you look then at the behaviour of the DUP over the Irish language, you know, Arlene Foster, oh, if we feed the crocodiles, they'll only come back for more. And the fucking crocodiles, like. Edwin Poots, you know, who believes the world was created in 7 days and dinosaurs are a myth, you know. He held four ministries in the north and was comically unsuited to all of them. But, and do you know David McCann, the broadcaster? You would know David.
I don't think so.
No? Anyway, in 2013, he told David McCann that his greatest achievement as the culture minister, imagine Edwin Poots being the culture minister, was burying the Irish Language Act.
What an achievement.
Burying the Irish language.
That's what culture is all about. Suppressing things.
Yeah, and so is it any wonder that NECAP are giving the middle finger to the DUP and the British government and saying, look, you know, this is our cultural identity. You know, we have survived famine and, you know, mass execution, torture. You know, our relations were murdered and then it was covered up. Is it any wonder that they have a massive middle finger up to all of that? And I think the most galling thing from the point of view of, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was an hour and 45 minutes of my life, I'll never get back, but the most galling, I said, oh, for fuck's sake. And you couldn't even sleep because of the noise.
Yeah, that's poor.
But the most galling thing for the British establishment and, you know, the apologists for British terror here, which was by far the worst terror, you know, that's been perpetrated. I mean, we were the first colony in Ireland. You know, we were their incubation. You know, we were their lab, their laboratory for the sort of demonic cruelty that they then exported around the globe, destroying indigenous peoples, annihilating them. You know, taking away everything that they had. And the most galling thing, I think, about NECAP is that they're enjoying it. They're having fun. Yeah. You know, they're doing it all with relish. And they're not backing away from it all. You know.
Mm.
And younger people are loving it and saying, you know what? Because you see, one of the things at the minute, you see, one of the other things about the films, there's a lot of Palestine emblems and Palestinian flags, etc. I mean, it's extraordinary, but it's not really in a way that the Unionist loyalist community just blindly supports Israel. I mean, it's just, it's almost, you know, it's almost universal. And that's an instinctive thing, and it's born of a tradition of supremacy and of the people they colonized being lesser than them. Because for you to be a colonizer, you have to believe that they're lesser than you. You know, if you're going to treat them, you know, structurally, systematically in your society as being lesser, you have to really believe that they are lesser.
Mm. It's also a tribal thing because...
But, you know. But it's less than that because you look at the coincidence, for example, of the UK, Germany, Canada, France, right? Mm. All the major colonial powers have thrown their weight fully behind Israel. All of the major colonial powers, you know, who have ravaged indigenous people, you know, who have committed terrible mass murder, you know, because they see them as lesser, you know. I mean, in the Israeli case, you know, the Arab is lesser, you know, the Arab subhuman, all that stuff, you know. In the loyalist thing in the north, you know, everything about us, Irish language, the GAA, our politicians, everything else, summed up in the fact, you know, that everything was rosy for the DUP until a Fenian was entitled to become the first minister. And then all of a sudden, you know, they thought up every excuse under the sun, you know, artificial sea borders and, you know, everything to avoid the ignominy of these fucking Fenians. Fucking first minister and me the deputy. And all of that is at play in what NECAP are doing, you know. I can't say, I don't want to sort of, you know, ascribe too much sophistication to it. But people aren't stupid in the North. I mean, everybody knows that that's what's happening with the DUP.
Mm.
If this was, you know, if the DUP had won that election and were first minister, well, then we'd have a storm up and running. You know, we have not had an allocation of public funding, an extra allocation of public funding now for several years. 150,000 civil servants and public servants went on strike a week ago. And Chris Heaton Harris. Fucking double barrel surnames. Anyway, Chris Harris Heaton Harris. He said, well, you know, if you know, it's for the assembly to dedicate this 3.6 billion. You know, we can't do it. Mm. So, you know, now, you would think that the rational response to that is, okay, we'll be back tomorrow morning and we're going to sort all of these pay awards out. We're going to make sure people have this money that allows them to live, that allows them to survive, to pay their bills. But because Geoffrey Donaldson is going to have to sit in the shadow of a Fenian.
Is it a Fenian or is it Sinn Féin?
That really makes any difference.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
No difference. As far as they were concerned, John Hume was shit under their shoe as well. You know, I mean, it's a very, very basic thing. You know, I mean, and Jim Allister was secretly recorded, the TUV politician, you know, talking about this and giving the real reason as to why we don't have a Stormont. And that's because, you know, it was fucking set up. A fucking Catholic is now going to be the First Minister. And he just cannot stomach that. Look, these are the growing pains of our society. Mm. And, I mean, you could imagine, for example, let's look at a fantastical example, you know. If by some miracle, you know, the people in Gaza are not completely obliterated, and there was a day whenever, you know, you had one state. I'm just like, it's obviously very theoretical because it won't happen. And somehow, you know, a Gazan, a subhuman animal, was all of a sudden, you know, part of a prosperous, you know, confident community that had made peace and was keen to copper fasten that peace and to look outward and was going to be the First Minister in Israel. I mean, you can imagine. I make the point just on the basis that it's galling for the supremacist, just as it was galling for many Americans when Barack Obama became the president. Yeah. You know, it's a journey that the North's on. And I have to say, I think in a way that NECAP don't hinder that journey. I know the point, like, you know, people like me can't go around saying up the IRA and singing ooh up the IRA and stuff like that because we have a different role. I'm trying to explain this as best I can. But there's a real world out there which is much realer than anything I can conjure up or much realer than the world that I live in. And that's that world of the younger generations where, you know, NECAP do a rap and it gets 5 million views.
Mm.
You know, like they like it's an avalanche. It's not like we have a great podcast, we have great numbers, all that sort of thing. But our reach is limited. Mm. I mean, their reach is going to be enormous. You know, I mean, whatever day Eminem brings them in as the support act, they're going to be worldwide.
Yeah,
you know, because also I think that it's a mark of the popularity of Irish people, and the popularity around the world in many ways of the struggle. You know, and of sort of Irish republicanism. You know,
or at least some sort of understanding of it, which might be basic.
Yeah, because there's a greater understanding of the British Empire now, and a whole lot of, you know, very eminent historians and scholars are doing painstaking research on what it actually was, because they burnt most of their records, they covered up a lot of stuff, as you know. I mean, many of the books that you have introduced me to that opened my eyes to what they did in Pakistan and India, you know, places around the globe.
But yeah, I think there is also, just a sense, and you talk about, you know, young people and all that, it is that freedom from the kind of the, and maybe this, you know, from the nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty of it too.
Exactly. They didn't have to suffer it.
And they didn't have to kind of, you know, even if you're coming from that community and you believe that the provisional IRA are your defenders, you're often in situations where you're going, how do I defend this? How do I defend Warrington? How do I defend?
Correct.
You know what I mean? How do I reconcile this idea that we need somebody to fight for our free, or to liberate us and to stand up to the oppressor with these horrific acts, these murder, the killing, murder of children, those kind of things. And I think when you get some distance, you can kind of say, well, it's all kind of, you know, this is all part of the kind of, and also because there's peace. And also because there's a sense of, right, there is a trajectory, which now makes kind of, doesn't make sense of it, but it gives some purpose to all of this. And it means it wasn't entirely, you know, and you see it with, the family of, you know, you see it with Tim Parry, you know, that, you know, the people who've worked for peace like that. It's Colin Parry, isn't it? Isn't that his father's name?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they
I was the little boy blown up more.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and like
his face will be forever.
Yeah, and like, but they found, and you know, you saw it even in, you know, in Enniskillen with Gordon Wilson with his daughter, who was blown up by the IRA, and that sense of some greater. Some people who in the moment had a sense of something greater, mm-hmm. and that then when peace came along, that they actually delivered meaning. And I've talked to you before on this podcast about meeting Alan Black, totally by chance one day in Besbrook, when myself and Peter O'Born were up there doing a film on Brexit before the Brexit deal was done during the Theresa May time. And Alan Black got off a bus, and Alan Black was the only survivor of the Kingsmill massacre when the IRA using a different name because it was a purely sectarian killing, shot a number of Protestant workers, and Alan Black, they let one Catholic go and then Alan Black was shot but survived. Yeah. But we met him and he was talking about how we can't go back. Yeah. And all these people are kind of have allowed, in a way, they've allowed Kneecap to be who they are through that suffering has allowed Kneecap to be who they are. And I take your point that there is only, you can only look forward and you can only hope for people to have confidence. And then, you know, people fall into the trap. It's a bit, you know, like the Daily Mail trap, you know, that they fall into that trap of responding to them in a way. And the Daily Mail doesn't care one way or the other what happens to Northern Ireland. I would say that the most powerful persuasive case for Irish unity at the moment, a friend of mine texted me the other night watching Conor Bradley play for Liverpool, the young defender from Tyrone.
Bloody Fenians.
GAA background. he plays for Northern Ireland. Plays for Northern Ireland. A friend of mine texted me saying,
"And he's from Mahi Aaron."
Yeah, and he said, Conor Bradley has convinced me." He sent me this text. Conor Bradley has convinced me we need a border poll now.
Frankie Boyle's great line the other night. Apparently, he said that the DUP were the political wing of the Old Testament. But the point about Kneecap is that whilst we, you know, and people who lived through it, are very conscious of the atrocities and of the terrible pain suffered by people, you know, and all of that. They're taking on the outrage industry. They're taking on that sort of, you know, that excuse for politics that the DUP have had now for 30 years, which is, but the IRA, lest we forget, but the IRA, and remember they did that, and remember they did that in 1970, and lest we forget, and but the IRA, and but the IRA, I call it IRAing, you know. Mm. And for a while there, I went after the DUP very publicly about it, and amazingly, it dried up. Because if you said anything at all, the DUP would say, if somebody was making a constructive point, well, that's all very well from the member over there, IRA, 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 IRA. And I think what Kneecap are doing is they're taking on that outrage industry and poking fun at it and saying, listen, we need to get on, lads. And, you know, when they shout sort of Brits out and get your Brits out and all of that, you know, it's resonating with people. Also, I think it, you know, the film ends on a very ecumenical, a very cross-community note.
Is this, are they having sex with Protestants again?
He orgasms, he shouts, Tuckie Arla. She slaps him. And over the course of a series of tumultuous sexual encounters, they fall in love.
I'm reading.
And one of the last scenes in the film is her with all her wee Protestant loyalist tattoos and all going to adult Irish class to learn Irish.
My
very like Linda Irvine, you know, leading, you know, sort of the, you know, from a very loyalist background, who's now, you know, she's the president of East Belfast Gaelic Club, which is now the third biggest membership of any Gaelic club in the north. She's the honorary president of that, and she's leading an Irish language revival in East Belfast. And who would have thought these things were possible? Mm. So, like, kneecap slot in there somewhere. You're absolutely right. They have an eye for the publicity. You know, they're going to do very, very, very well with young people. They're going to rock it out. The hip hop Wolf Tones.
Well,
but I, for one, shall not be going to any of their concerts.
Well, I want you to read my wife read in one. I'm turning to Ryan Tuberty again. My wife read in one sitting a book.
You are fascinated.
Well, I love his. I love his diary.
As much as he loves life.
Possibly, if it's possible to love anything as much as Ryan Tuberty loves life. But she said to me, she read this book in more or less in one sitting, the book called Trespasses by Louise Kennedy, a woman called Louise Kennedy, which she asked me, she said, I'd like you to read it. And then she said, I'd like Joe to read it. And it's a story about the North, and it's set in the 70s. And I've just started it, but it's actually all about all those signals of sectarianism. And, you know, a woman from a Catholic background meeting a Protestant, and, you know, then how that is treated by other people in the community. Now, I've only started it, but it's gripping, and it's also a reminder of where we were, you know, and that sense that this wasn't. nobody was doing this for fun. Like, this wasn't, you know, the consequences of these things were serious.
Absolutely, and
I always remember, like, that is the thing. Like, I remember when I interviewed Sean O'Higgins, the civil servant, the Irish civil servant, who had a huge amount to do with Downing Street Declaration, and he always made that point about sectarianism. You could opt out of it to a certain degree, he said, but at the same time, you make a step in the wrong direction. And it's not, you know,
the younger generations are changing everything in the North. I mean, they're going to do that. That's a wave. You know, we can talk about it and intellectualize about it and say, well, why something should happen. Mm. But it's a wave that's happening amongst the young people. And, you know, everything is changing very, very, very quickly. And I predict that very soon the DUP are going to come on board, because they are slumping. They're slumping in the polls. Their instinct, their go-to is always, look, you know, no surrender, anti-everything, all of the rest of it. That has always served them well in the polls. But real people are feeling real pain now in the North because of the lack of government. And I predict that within 20 years, the DUP will come back into government. Possibly 25.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You've been listening to Free State. In me off the shun, kind of clicking in Arja, or Warna Dung, take them sick of willing steel drum, as John of her run. But we got one chance, and then it's done. So be who he and speak your pain, and receive the love. Don't let the cunts get ya. Don't surround yourself with ones that miss ya. Talk sack and talk on, I'll not go me sketch ya. It's great, get dangin', go willing steel, sure, did ya. One knee, fell a thunder in his magic. And if there's a better way to live, I gotta have it. Because I think all day, but when I drink I'm okay. Gets further away, every time I try to grab it. Underneath I'm a chatter in this heaven. Got a little peak one day, made me feel I go a seven. I know it exists, but I can't stop getting pissed. One more thing, I'll be added to the list. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck.
Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.